So my cue is when the music stops.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Grace and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Joel Hubbard. I'm very blessed and thankful to be the pastor here at Essex Center United Methodist Church. And if you are visiting with us this morning, welcome. I know that we have some returning visitors. We've got Donna's mom and dad and brother who are visiting with us, and you're return visitors, but welcome back. And so I know there's some faces that I don't recognize, but I'm not assuming you're a visitor, because in some ways I'm still the visitor. So it's a joy to be with you, and I've got just a couple of things to share. Obviously, I have clipboards. And the one is to start in a couple of weeks, and it has to do with the fellowship hour. So snacks and coffee and cleanup. So I'm going to start that on this side. I'll start that with you. And when it gets up into the mezzanine, right? When it gets to the mezzanine, would you pass it down to this side? I'm sorry?
They advance from the cheap seats.
You know, so one of the things that United Methodist churches are a lot like high school classes. Because, you know, all the seats in the back fill up first. You know, nobody's ever sitting in the front row. And I don't blame you. That would be a little bit too much. The second clipboard, we're having some listening times when I'm just going to be meeting with whoever would like to come out and share about your family or about the community, what your hopes are, what your dreams are for Essex Church, or really whatever is on your heart and mind. And the first one is going to be happening tonight at 6:30. And we're going to be, because we have this wonderful rain that we have been needing, but we're going to be at the Sand Hill Pavilion at the Sand Hill Park. So rain or shine, 6:30 tonight. But there are three other ones that we've scheduled, and if they fill up, we will put together some more times and places as well. Allison, I'll start that one with you. And likewise, when this one gets to the mezzanine, would you pass it up the next time? So a couple of other things. One is that if you are a part of the mission team, or if you'd like to be a part of the mission team, which is really meant to be an advocacy group, a group that group of people who are concerned about what's happening in the lives of our community and those around us. There's just an item that I would like to talk with you about right after worship. Shouldn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes. And if you're able to stay, just come on up to the front pew and we'll get that taken care of. Oh, yes. And so the last thing is I've been made aware that our first song might not be familiar to the congregation. Yeah. Yes, ma'am?
Before you end announcements, may I tell
them the
new email address?
I beg your pardon?
May I want to tell them the new email address before you finish announcements this morning?
Well, you think I should?
So,
some of you are aware that there was a fishing expedition last week, PH fishing, because some of you got an email about some Amazon accounts from the church. And the reality is that somebody hacked into the system, but our marvelous electronic and visual and audio and visual team, meaning Jeremy, was right on top of it and worked it all out, got us in a secure place, and we have a new email address, which I believe is located on the back of the bulletin. Underneath Essex Center United Methodist Church, email. It's office@essexumc.com. That's the new email for the office here. So I know it's a tough one to remember. But that's, if you need to send us something, an email to the office, that's the one to hit. Did I do it right? Thanks. It's good. It's important follow that lead from Dawn. So, I almost forgot where it was. But we got a new song, or a new song for some of us. And it's out of the Green Hymnal. It's number 314. And before we really get into the worship time, Catherine and Dana are going to introduce it to us. So it's, when we go to sing it, it's not the first time that you've heard it. So, hit.
So we'll start at the refrain. Just for now, we'll do refrain, verse, refrain. So you can listen, and then as you feel comfortable, join in at the second refrain would be great.
Oh, yes.
You doing well?
everything.
Friends, let's take a moment so that we can center ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our bodies. Let's take time to come before God in silent prayer.
And our call to worship is adapted from Psalm 145. Please join me in the bold type. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Generation upon generation declare your wonder and mighty acts, and the awesomeness of your deeds are declared throughout the cosmos. Each and every day I praise your name and celebrate your abundant goodness and righteousness with song. With all creation, I bless your name forever and ever. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and has compassion for all creation. The Lord is faithful in word and gracious in deed, supporting all who stumble and raising up all who are oppressed. We look to you, Lord, for the nourishment to sustain our daily needs, trusting in your justice, kindness, and truth. You hear our cries and save us by your grace. I will speak your praise and join with all creation to bless your name forever. If you are able, please stand for our first hymn, number 3014, in the green book, and we will start at the top this time.
People from every nation.
Join me in the morning prayer in unison. From everlasting to everlasting, you are indeed the Lord our God. Today we again seek your presence and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to enliven our hearts and inspire our minds, so we may indeed fully embrace life and become all that you created us to be. As we grow into your image, may we live out your justice, compassion, and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So it is our practice to set aside specific time in every worship service for our youngest disciples. And we are blessed to not only have young people worshiping with us remotely, but this morning, let's see if I get this right. We have Allison and Hannah and Emmett. Yes! So, if you're comfortable with it, if you want to come up. All right. There we go. And there we go. And there we go. So, it is great to see you all in person. I've seen you on video, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, because, you know, for the last year, you all were actually the first young people that I met in Essex Church because of the videos that you made with Mom. So, we've been doing something special over the last couple of weeks. And it has to do with the stuff that's around and on the communion table. Yes, ma'am?
Is it gardening?
What gave it away?
Rosary.
Yeah. So come on over. Let's look at this stuff. Okay, so tell me something that you see on or around the table that you know something about. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so you pointed at this, and you called it a shovel. So here's something that I learned from my grandfather, and that is that this is a shovel because it has a square end, right? That's how you can always tell a shovel, right? And with the shovel, you can edge things, but you can also dig stuff up, right? Yeah, and you can scoop things as well. If it's a big one like this, and it has this on it, they call it a spade because the top, it looks like, you know, playing card, right? Yeah. And it's pointed at the end. And when it's like this, sometimes we call it a hand trowel. I know it's crazy stuff, but yeah. But you use it to dig. Yes, sir?
I see a bunch of seeds.
You see a bunch of seeds. Okay, so pick out something that you know about one of those seeds and plants.
I know about these green bean seeds because my mom makes them and grow them in our garden.
Ah, so you are a big string bean guy. That's awesome, because you grow them and Mom cooks them, and I'm assuming that you eat them.
Yep.
Yes. Awesome. Good deal. Tell me something. And what's that?
A watering can.
A watering can. And what does a watering can do? Why is that important?
Because they can grow. But if it rains, sometimes you don't need to.
Exactly. So the rain is like God's watering can, right? Yeah. We've been asking people to bring in seeds that we can plant together and that represent their families and tell some stories. Because a church is kind of like a garden, okay? And each of us is kind of like a seed that God has planted in this garden, right? And we grow up through all kinds of nourishing stuff, like we water and rain nurtures the seeds. How do we get nurtured in our church family? Good deal. We pray for one another, and people pray for us. How about something else? What do we read from?
Emmett, you're just
on top of stuff left and right here. Yeah, absolutely, the Bible. The Bible nurtures us and nourishes us and helps us grow just like the sunshine nourishes the plants, right? So this morning, I know a couple of people have brought in seeds or seedlings. Can you read what that says? I'll give you a hint. Daisy. So, Hannah, why don't you show this to everybody? And tell them what it is.
These are daisies.
Okay. And do you know who brought in the daisy seeds? I believe that was Miss Donna and Mr. Larry. And do you guys want to say why you chose daisy seeds?
He wouldn't know.
But I guarantee you will tell him why he brought them. Donna, I have a whole new image of you as a flower child now. And this one, so Allison, what does that say? Would you hold it? Morning glory. Yeah, show it to everybody and say what it is. It's a morning glory. Or morning glories, because there's more than one. And... Nope, it doesn't say on it. But that came from Miss Vicky. And why did you bring in morning glories for us?
It takes me back to my fond memories of the farm with my grandparents. My father always planted them. I plant them. They're very easy to grow. They're fast growing. They vine. Climb up things and they cling on to wherever you kind of lead them. And they're really kind of neat. The hummingbirds love the flowers, so they entertain me all summer long.
That's a beautiful thing. Okay, we're going to put them right back up here. And what we're going to do, so we're going to spend some time in the days to come. And I'm gonna reach out and find out if there's anybody that wants to help me plant the seeds. And then we're just gonna keep watering and nurturing and praying over, and then we're gonna see what grows out of our garden. Cool? Now here's the thing. We've got a song that Miss Dana and Miss Catherine are gonna share with us. Okay? And here's the deal. there's going to be some hand motions. Okay? So here's, watch me. Seed, root, shoot, stem, flower, seed. Cool? Okay, no, don't go away. We're gonna sing, and we're gonna do it together. Okay, I'm gonna do it with you.
Little Ready? Do they know what they signed up for.
Ah, exactly. Ready?
Chapter 6, verses 45 through 48. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to Christ. And we'll join together in number 351 in the large hymnal, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior."
Thank you.
picking up in the sixth chapter of Mark's gospel where Dana left off. Hear now the word of the Lord. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. They cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, and you are our redeemer. Amen. Who has emotions? Good. Good. What's a favorite emotion for you?
Joy.
Joy. Cool. Joy. Joy. Sweet. What's another one?
Laughing.
Laughing. Okay. Absolutely.
Frustration.
Happiness.
Stress.
Stress is a favorite?
No, it's not a favorite, but boy.
Okay. Well, and here's the thing. So I heard frustration, I heard stress. We're clearly not going to spend a whole lot of time on the ones we like, right? Interestingly enough, we tend to be able to recognize some of the more challenging emotions that we're not particularly, we don't particularly like to embrace. What are some of those other difficult emotions?
Angry.
Anger.
Sadness.
Sadness.
Fear. Grief.
Fear.
Fear. Come on, we're in church. There's a big one we're missing there.
Anger.
Anger.
Not anger. Hungry.
What about guilt? Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Emotions are a part of our human being, right? Everybody experiences emotions. But I know that when I was growing up, I learned there were good emotions and there were bad emotions. Wait a minute, Emmett, I think I overlooked you. You had your hand up.
Happiness.
I didn't call you. Okay, sorry about that. I can lose track sometimes. Keep me in place. But good emotions and bad emotions, I don't know whether any of you had that experience or not, but one of the things that apparently I might have had a temper as a child. I don't know, but that was something that my mother would, you got to keep that anger in check, right? It's not good to be angry all the time. Okay, well, I guess I'm a bad guy. You know, I wasn't sure how to deal with that or what to do with that. As I've gotten older, and I get on my mom. I love my mom. She's great. She's a wonderful human being and has been a great advocate throughout my life. But I do like to give her a hard time, and I know she's watching, so love you, Mom. But one of the things that I have learned in the course of my life is that emotions are things that we all go through. And I'm healthiest when I'm in touch with the emotions that I'm having. then I'm aware that I'm angry. And when I'm aware of it, it means that I can get in touch with it and understand it and maybe even find a vehicle for my anger or my grief or my fear in a way that is healthier than, say, lashing out at someone else. I've also found if I'm not getting in touch with those emotions, they can get me in trouble. The emotions that I don't claim and embrace can sometimes lead me into situations and circumstances wherein I hurt myself or someone else. And I hear a lot of emotion in the gospel story this morning. A lot of conflicting emotions, not just in what's said, but in remembering the stories that went just before. You know, for the last several weeks, we've been working through this portion of the Gospel of Mark. And if you remember, on one Sunday, we talked about the experience of Jesus grieving the loss of John the Baptizer, right? And we heard and read about the disciples being affirmed by Jesus, basically saying, hey, y'all are doing all right, and I got a job for you. Jesus sharing responsibility with the disciples and sending them out two by two. And then I think it was last week we heard a little bit about them coming back and saying, oh my gosh, this was incredible. These things happened. People were healed. We saw God work through the things that we said and did. It was amazing. That experience of joy and meaning in their lives, feeling like they were accepted and belonged. It was also a story where some wonder was experienced as the disciples were a part of a meal that started with a few loaves and a couple of fish, and fed well over 10,000 people. We are experiencing a whole breadth of what God has created us to be right in these stories. And today, we get some different emotions, but there's also a couple of things about this story that just, I hope that as Dana was reading and as I read to you, as you read it in your bulletin or in your Bibles at home, that you kind of went, what? Did it really say that? And if you're familiar with the story, it may have been even like, I don't remember that in this story. Because this is not always the story that gets talked about, the story on the sea. Usually we jump to one of the other gospels, you know, where Peter jumps in, right? Oh, it's Jesus. Call me out too, right? And he gets a swimming lesson. Or actually in Peter's case, it's a drowning lesson. So one of the things that I find strange in this passage is which led to that hymn we just sang a little bit ago, Do Not Pass Me By. So Jesus sends them on ahead, right? They've just gotten through with this great meal. They're all like, they've just had this mountaintop experience. A miracle has happened in their midst. Not only did everybody get fed, and the reason, I know some of you said, I don't remember 10,000. Remember what it says in the text. In Mark's text, it says,
men.
Right. Thank you, Sally. That's right.
Never mind the women and children.
Exactly. So we know that there were at least, and if ratios are the same then as they are now, it was more like 25,000. Just look around. So they're just off this incredible moment. And suddenly, while the disciples are on the sea, a storm picks up. Anyways, one of the times that I was reading through the story was when that thunderstorm came through this past week. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, God, I got it. I'm glad I'm not on Champlain today. But that shouldn't have been an issue for the disciples, right? These are commercial fishermen, or at least a good portion of them are, right? They're probably on Peter or Andrew's boat or James and John's boat. They know what to do. And when I was trying to visualize this, I came across that image on the front of the bulletin. And does anybody recognize what that's a rendering of? That top image? It's a rescue boat, right? And it might have been off of Maine, or it might have been off of the New Hampshire coast. I know we're the only landlocked New England state, but I know you've been to the shore. And it may have been actually from England as well. But there was a time, you know, when lighthouses and navigation and people didn't have, there was no GPS, right? There was the woman in the box was not there. And so there were teams of people that regularly were sent out in the storms to make sure that when there was an accident, that those persons could be rescued and might survive. And these are people that were used, this was like the first Coast Guard, right? These are people who were used to going out, they were trained for this. The disciples had spent their lives, many of them spent their lives on these boats. So the fact that a storm kicked up, I'll bet there was a couple of them who were going, I know how to do this, you know? I don't know how to pray for people or heal people, but I can navigate a boat on the lake in a storm. And Jesus knew that. And I love the way that Mark sets this up. The gospel writer says Jesus comes out walking on the waves, and the disciples are straining at the oars, and he's going to walk right by. His intention is to walk right by. Why would he walk by? So they'd see him. Why wouldn't he stop? Why didn't he intend to stop?
Because he knew they could handle it.
Yes, ma'am. He knew they had the skill set and the knowledge and the heart to deal with what was in front of them. They knew what storms were. They knew what it was to navigate the lake. It was going to be fine. And so he intended to walk on by. But something changed. When was the last time you saw somebody walking on water? Right? The reality shifted. The things that they knew that they could believe in, the things that they knew that they could trust, the stuff that they were confident, we know what's happening on this lake. Suddenly, they didn't know anymore. Everything that they had grown up with, everything that they had believed in, everything that they could count on, all of that went out the window. Because Jesus was striding across the waves. So it had to be what? It had to be a ghost. It couldn't be Jesus, right? There's brain lock going on here. And that's kind of what led me to that other image on your bulletin cover. What happens to us when we lose our footing in reality? When we recognize that the world in which we think we know doesn't exist anymore? How do we cope in the face of things which shatter our preconceptions. Most of the time, even in little things, even when there are small incremental changes, we don't really react embracingly. How comfortable are you with change? Right? We're getting a lesson, us together, for the last 4 weeks, right? Because the world has changed for us in this space, in this family. Things have shifted. Now, I'm sure that there are folks who have come in and gone, that's different. That's a change. And I'm sure that there are moments when it's not all that comfortable. And maybe even generates a sense of fear. Oh my gosh, how do we do this now? It's a new reality. In a microcosm, what's happening amongst us in this fellowship, in this faith family, is what's been going on in our country for the last 18 months, right? Because it's no longer the way it was, and we're never going to get back there. There are things that have changed, and we're struggling to find ways to keep our footing, to keep the ship righted, to meet the oncoming storm. And some of us, all of us have experienced fear in this time. All of us have. All of us have experienced some uncertainty. Some of us have experienced dramatic grief. Some of us have lost persons that we dearly love to this horrible pandemic. Relationships have changed. Things that we have counted on. I know in my own family, my mother-in-law lives in West Tennessee. And last week was the first time that my wife has been able to see her mother in 2 years. I rejoice in that. It was wonderful that she could finally get to be there. But it's been a difficult time in the in-between. Not knowing, will I see them again? What will it be like? Can that relationship, how will it change? When can I go back? You know the uncertainties. We all share in them. And one of the things that happens sometimes when fear takes hold, we forget even what we are capable of. The disciples, these guys, they're commercial fishermen, right? This is the deadliest catch crew. And because they see a shift in the reality, because they see this Jesus walking on the waves, their fear becomes confusion. It's the church answering machine. Oh. If you're hearing voices, it's okay. Or at least I think it's okay. We're all hearing it together, so that's... But their fear, you know, it leads them to some confusion. And then we get this phrase. We get that last verse that I read to you. And grammatically, it just doesn't fit in English, does it? It's not a well-constructed sentence. It's like the gospel writer put three different things in there all at the same time. He says, okay, so as they're trying to deal with this in their fear, in their confusion, but, by the way, and, yeah, no, they didn't understand about the loaves and the fish. What? And their hearts were hardened. Come again? Do you remember other persons whose hearts were hardened in the biblical story? Most often appears in Hebrew scripture. I bet you remember one guy. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Right? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So the disciples are like, Pharaoh? What about Ahab and Jezebel? What about the stubborn and stiff-necked people who wouldn't enter into the promised land because there were giants that inhabited it? Even though there was evidence of God's providence, their hearts were hardened. That's the disciples? But these are the same ones that just did all these wonderful things. These are the ones that were a part of that loaves and fishes story. I hope that you're making the connection about our lives as well. Because this is how we live. In the midst of incredible wonder and deep fears. That's all part of who we are, who God has created us to be. And it's not that we shouldn't have these feelings or we can't have these feelings, but rather, how do we deal and cope? And the assurance that no matter what happens, Jesus is going to look on us in the same way that Jesus looked on the crowd before the feeding. Right? Because he was intended, they were going off to a quiet place, remember? But he saw them and he had compassion on them. And he stopped and he fed them. He fed their hearts, he fed their minds, he fed their bodies. Jesus intended, as I read it, to pass these disciples by because, they got this handled. But then he saw that they didn't. And the way I read this is that he had compassion on the disciples in the boat in the same way that he had compassion on the crowd. And he stopped. He intended to pass them by, but you know what? They needed him in that moment. Even though he had confidence, they did not. You ever been in that place? All too often in my life. But I take heart in the words of this story that Jesus stops. Even though we've been equipped, even though we've been forgiven and loved and given a skill set that will make it so that we can cope with exactly what is before us. There are some times when we just lose it. And Jesus stops and he gets in the boat. And there's no repercussion. There's no, well, I told you. Really? There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's just the presence of God in our midst, and the storm stops. The challenge for me in my walk is to not be consumed in what I don't know, but to claim that which I do know. Our reality has shifted. I'm old enough to remember another time socially and culturally when reality shifted. I remember a time when there were signs that said by restrooms and water fountains and cafeterias, whites only. I remember a time when riots were happening in the streets. College students were shot by National Guard soldiers. Images of violent deaths, of national politicians and civil rights leaders. We've been through changing times before, and God has equipped us to find a healthy, viable, and effective means of living together. It will be no different today. And as this pandemic changes and morphs our reality, the one thing that I keep feeling called back to is to remind myself and all folks who are being consumed by fear that God is going to get in the boat. In fact, he's already here. She's present in our midst. Don't let your heart become hardened, Joel. Remember and see the wonder that God has created in each and every human being. Seek it out, encourage it, and celebrate it for the compassion and the justice and the love of God always. Lord, we hear your word, and we experience your affirmation. When Monday rolls around, and Wednesday, and Friday afternoon, may we continue to experience your spirit then. To know that even in our fear and confusion, you remain ever faithful. And will be a part of our safe passage. The safe passage of all of humankind and creation. In Jesus' name. As a hymn of response, I believe it's number 525 in your hymnals, in the United Methodist hymnal. Color, what's the color?
Blue.
Is it blue?
Yes.
In the blue hymnal. As you're able, would you stand? Let's sing together.
We will understand it better by and by.
God said.
Amen. Please be seated. Catherine, I need to borrow your pencil again. I'll give it back. It's also important that whenever we gather together, that we share the needs, the concerns, and the joys that have been a part of our lives. So, what do you bring to share with one another or to lift up before the Lord this morning? Yes, sir.
I would pray that the gentleman on the front of the bulletin who made the declaration not to get not changed, along with millions who made that same declaration, please reconsider this not just for their own health, but for the health of the millions around.
Amen, friend. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Indeed. Prayers for Victor's family, who succumbed far sooner than anyone would have hoped. Thank you, Allison. Someone else?
Sure.
Oh, sorry, Dana.
A few weeks ago, we prayed for our friend's new baby who had a brain tumor. Baby Vivian had her surgery, but she needs to go to Boston Children's for 6 to 12 months for treatment.
Okay. Prayers for baby Vivian and her family, and praise God that there was treatment. So, amen. Thanks. Someone else? Yes, sir.
Joy, our son and his family are going to be visiting us for a week. They're coming from Normal, Illinois. We'll call them the Normal family.
Every family should have at least one normal person. Whatever that means. Praise God. Yes.
It's been 2 years since we've seen them.
Yes, ma'am. And so hallelujah. Safe travel and a safe visit. Someone else?
Senior housing in South Burlington. I am very pleased to see how happy they are. They admit that it's not home, but it's good. And they look good. So that was a really pleasant afternoon to see how well they're doing.
Amen. Another family, Don and Norma, adjusting to a new reality.
That's right. Exactly.
Facing their fears, knowing that God is with them. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Donna.
Continued prayers for Donna.
Continued prayers for Donna. Absolutely. And I understand there's something maybe happening this afternoon?
There's going to be something of an ice cream social at about 2 o'clock.
Yes. So I want you just, so we welcome Donna's parents and Michael at the beginning of service, but there's going to be a little ice cream social for the group that's been visiting and so forth. So just 2 o'clock this afternoon, just say a word of celebration of, you know, God's gift to us and Donna, and yeah.
There was an email that went out last night from Christine, who's really been the force behind this particular event. But if people didn't get the email and are interested, just chat with me after service.
Yeah. See the good doctor. Any last words? Then as we come to prayer, Catherine's going to play for us. We'll pray together. Then we will close out with our Lord's Prayer in the language which is most faithful to your relationship with God. And then we'll close with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let us pray.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, love full in his wonderful face, and let the
Holy One, for all of the wonder and beauty of creation, thank you. For the cool breeze that blows through this sanctuary, for the warmth of your Holy Spirit upon our hearts and lives, for the rain which nourishes and the sun which warms and strengthens. Most of all, thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness and love that we are sharing with one another through you. We remember, Lord, at this time that there are those in our families and those in our community and around the world who are struggling. Persons who are seeking to recover from disasters and accidents. Persons who are victims of violence and war. Sisters, brothers, and others who are without adequate food, shelter, or clothing. People dying of sickness and disease, afflicted at every hand. We remember, Lord God, our brothers, sisters, and family whose minds are unquiet, who struggle with addictions and compulsions. And we pray, Lord God, that not only would your hand heal, restore, affirm, strengthen each and every life, but you empower the rest of the family to advocate for wholeness as well. We pray that we might be your hands and feet, that we might be a voice and an encouragement. In addition, Lord, to the needs that we have been sharing over the last several weeks, we lift up to you as well, Victor's family, baby Vivian and her family, and for each of us who succumbs to the fears and falls prey to half-truths. Thank you for reuniting families and for drawing us together this day. It is in one spirit and with one voice that we come before you in the prayer that Jesus taught to the followers. Our Mother and Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One of the ways that we express our solidarity with God is in the way that we share our time, our talent, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And throughout COVID, the Essex family has been faithful in finding new ways to do that. So thank you for sharing who you are and what God has brought and the gifts that God has brought into your lives. One of the ways that we are transitioning back is there are offering plates around the sanctuary. And so if you have brought a tithe or an offering, feel free to utilize those plates. We won't be passing them through the pews for the near future. Thank you to everyone. Would you stand for the blessing and benediction? I believe that Jesus is intending to pass us by. Not because he's unconcerned, but because he's confident that we have been equipped, just like it says in 2 Timothy, to do every kind of good deed, not for ourselves, but for the family. For all of humankind. So may the Spirit of God lead you into the world, knowing that the wind's going to blow and the waves are going to crash, but it will still be well. And God walks with us. Go in grace, go in love, go in peace.